Amen. Part of the chapter we're going to focus on is found in chapter 14 and verse number 11, where the Bible reads here, "As yet I am strong, as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And the title of my sermon this evening is, "I Want That Mountain." All right? I want that mountain. In the story, the children of Judah approached Joshua regarding the land that they would like to conquer. And obviously, if you've read the Old Testament, if you read Joshua and Deuteronomy, God promises a land to these people that they would be able to conquer, right? And he promises it to them, but it has conditions. It's like, you got to conquer the people. You got to make sure you fight them off. You got to make sure you keep the commandments of God, and then it can be yours. You got to make sure that you're living right, and you're doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and you can have that land. Caleb is among them and basically reminds Joshua of the word of the Lord that he had given them 40 years prior. So he says, you can have this land, and that was 40 years ago. Well, guess what? Caleb is now 85 years old. And even at the age of 85, he's remembering what God had promised 40 years prior to that. Well, Caleb and Joshua were the two guys that brought the good report back. Because if you remember in the story, they went to go spy out the land, and they came back and they said, man, there's giants in the land, there's big old grapes, it looks good, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, it looks very promising, let's take it. But what happened? There was a few people who actually gave an evil report, right? Like, no, it's too big, there's giants in the land, we're as grasshoppers in their sight, so on and so forth. And the Bible says that they gave an evil report. Well, Caleb, according to the Bible, wholly followed the Lord, and he had another spirit. And his spirit was, we can do this, we can take them, we can fight them off, we can inherit the land that God had promised to give us. Well, 40 years later, he remembers that, okay? And he goes to Joshua, and he gives him this dissertation regarding the inheritance. He basically tells Joshua, look, I remember what God said 40 years ago, okay? 40 years ago, he said we can have this mountain. 40 years ago, he said we can have this inheritance if we just follow X, Y, and Z. Well, then he said this, give me this mountain. Yeah, I'm 85 years old, but guess what? I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. I'm still zealous for the Lord. I'm still wholly following God. So go ahead and just give me this mountain. It's a great dissertation, and really, there's so many areas we can apply this to our lives, but I want to really just talk about this matter of going into 2018 as a church. And let me say this. As a church, you know what we ought to do is say this. I want this mountain, right? You said, what mountain? El Monte. I mean, if you think of El Monte, what is it? It's the mountain. Yeah. Now look, he didn't ask for like this little piece of land. He says, just give me the whole thing, right? Go big or go home, right? Yeah. And you see, Caleb had some ambition. He had drive. There was vision there. And even though he was 85, he was up there in age, he didn't allow that to hinder him. He could have made all kinds of excuses, and I'm too tired, and I'm too established. But no, he said this, I want that mountain, give it to me. Okay? And look, Caleb wasn't asking for anything radical either. Right? It's not like people would have gone to him and said, well, that's a little too much. You want a mountain? That's a little too much. No, he's simply asking for something that God had already offered to him. Right? And let me say this, we as a church should have that desire as well. That ambition to say, I want to do something big for God. I want our church to do something big. I want us to get that mountain. And often a mountain in the Old Testament symbolizes like victory. It symbolizes inheritance. It symbolizes the mountaintop, right? And we could apply that to our personal lives to say the same thing. And look, 2017 is over, okay? And there's a lot that took place in 2017. But guess what? 2018 is right around the corner, and we're going to do greater works for God. Look, I'm thankful for the amount of people that got saved today. Amen. And yesterday and 2 weeks ago and this year. I mean, we've seen scores of people saved already. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? Let's put that behind us. Why? Because there's greater works to do in 2018. Okay, there's more souls we're going to see saved. There's more soul winning we're going to do. More sermons we're going to preach. Greater works. Why? Because we want that mountain. Now, let me say this. You say, what mountain specifically are you referring to? I'm talking about cities that we want to overcome, okay? And no, I'm not talking about bus ministry. You know, you keep your bus ministry, keep your Sunday school class, keep your boo-boo college, keep all those things. I don't want nothing to do with that. You say, what do you want to do? I want to do more soul winning. Amen. Okay? And when we say we want that mountain, we're talking about souls that are going to be saved in this city by our church. El Monte, South El Monte, Montebello, Monterey Park, Alhambra, Rosemead, East Los Angeles, Maywood, Cudahy, someone give me another, Paramount,
Compton.
Whoa, that's a big mountain right there. Inglewood, Long Beach, amen, Downey, I mean, there's a lot of mountains in this area. Orange County, for my white brethren out there, I'm just kidding. Whittier, right? Duarte, I mean, there's all kinds of mountains here. And look at the map. That's a lot of blue shaded in within the last couple of months. How much more do you think? I think we're going to finish this map this year. Yeah. Easily. And look, you say, well, you're trying to get your name out? No, we want to get the gospel out. Yeah. We want to see more people saved. And here's the thing. I don't want this to be a goal like that I want to reach so I can be famous and I can be known. No, I want this to be something that all of us get involved with, so every single person in this church becomes a soul-winning Baptist Christian, seeing people saved and spreading the gospel everywhere. And let's not have a small vision. Let's have a big vision for this thing, to see a lot of people saved. I mean, look, we joke about it, but when you have people walking in and saying, hey, can I get saved? That's awesome, but that doesn't happen every single time, okay? That's once in a blue moon. That happened in Acts 16, and I haven't heard it happen since then, all right? But look, most of the time, that's not going to happen. You know what we have to do? We have to go out there and get them, okay? No, we're not going to have an evangelistic service. No, we're not going to do like a friend day. No, we're not going to do any of those things. What are we going to do? We're going to get out there and preach the gospel. And look, you ought to have the goal in your personal life that you want to be a soul winner in 2018. We don't need Christians who are too lazy to get their rear end out there and preach the gospel. It's easy to be in a Bible-believing church like this and just appreciate the preaching and the fellowship, but you know what? You need to get out there and do the work yourself. Be a part of the team. Go out there and get yourself a mountain. We need some ambitious Christians today. Okay, not to make money, not to do some great exploit to make our names big. No, to see a lot of people saved. Okay, you say, where do I start? You can start this week. You can start for the Soul Winning Mega Marathon coming up in all 50 states. Amen. I mean, we want to make sure that we the souls are being just saved on a weekly, daily basis at our church. We want to be a soul winning machine. Say, man, I'm not as good as I, you know, I don't know how to preach the gospel, then you need to learn. And look, if you're saved, there should be no reason why you can't preach the gospel, because you've heard the gospel yourself. Okay, now I'm not saying that you're going to be eloquent on day one. Okay, that you're going to know everything that you need to know about preaching the gospel on day one. No, but you know what? You can do something, right? And look, come out, be a silent partner if you need to, but be a part of the work. Why? Because one man can't conquer one mountain. This whole church needs to get involved to be a part of that. Okay? East LA. I mean, there's a lot of open hearts out there. People are just waiting. I mean, El Monte just in general is a very open area. I'm surprised, to be honest with you. Within the last couple of months, how many people have been saved here? This is, look, I would understand if you're like discouraged because we're in an area where like no one's getting saved, but you know, people are being saved here on a weekly basis. This is a perfect place for you to learn how to go soul winning, to get your feet wet, to learn. Why? Because people are getting saved all the time. This is the mountain we want. We want to see people saved. We're not interested in vacation Bible school. Okay. We're not interested in, did I say bus ministry already? I probably said, we need to say it some more. I'm not interested in that anymore. Okay? What I'm interested in is preaching the gospel to every creature. And look, I'm not saying people have not gotten saved through bus ministry, but there's a lot more falling through the cracks in bus ministry than those that are getting saved. I mean, just a couple months ago, I knocked on a door where these kids answered the door, and they were going to like some big name Spanish pastor's church for a long time, and they weren't even saved. Okay. Hey, but they were the numbers that they needed, right? They got to put them on the board and say they had so many on the church, but they weren't even saved. What if those kids would have died and gone to hell? You know, they didn't care about that. No, what we want is to make sure we get out there and preach the gospel so people can be saved, that can have eternal life. Let me give you some statistics here. First of all, El Monte has 113,475 approximately people here. I mean, that seems like a lot, but it's not really that much. I think we can knock that out in 2018 easy. And look, one thing we're going to do in 2018 is we're going to make soul winning teams. You're going to be in charge of a specific area in El Monte, and that's your area. You and your team will be knocking that area, seeing souls saved, making sure that we knock out that entire map, okay? But 113,000, that's not a whole lot of people. I think our little church, with our little storefront, I think we can do it. In fact, I know we can do it. But we need the involvement of everyone in here. South El Monte has 20,000, approximately 20,000. That's not a lot. Monterey Park has 60,000, a little over 60,000. That's not a lot. You know, and look, how do you build a house one brick at a time? You know, you just go out there, knock those doors, get rejected, you know, lead people to Christ week in and week out, put in the work, and guess what? We're going to see a lot of people saved in these areas. East LA, mi gente, mi raza, 126,000. There's a lot of open people there. And look, you ought to have the goal, if you speak Spanish, to know how to preach the gospel in Spanish. Okay? Don't let the gringo learn Spanish before you do. Alex is learning Spanish right now, okay? And but you, if you know Spanish, you ought to know how to preach the gospel in Spanish, okay? If you can speak it fluently, there's no reason why you can't pick up a Spanish, Reina Valera, 2010, okay? And memorize the verses, memorize the Romans Road, and get out there and win some souls to Christ. I would say 40 to 50% of the people that I lead to the Lord are in Spanish. And I honestly believe that your salvations increase when you know a different language because you reach into a different people group. Well, if you know Spanish, look, you need to learn it. Because El Monte is very heavily populated with Hispanic people. I mean, this whole area is, right? Learn the Spanish, learn how to preach the gospel in Spanish. LA County alone has a little over 9 million people, you know? And look, I talk about El Monte, but we're not stopping in El Monte. We want to take over all of Los Angeles. Amen. We're going to knock every single door in LA County. Every single door. Without bus ministry, without Vacation Bible School. I'm not talking about track drops. I'm not talking about door hangers, blitzing this and blitzing that. No, we're talking about door-to-door soul winning. Amen. I believe we can do it. And look, if you're apathetic today and you don't care about these things, then you know what? You need to go to some lukewarm Baptist church where they'll let you live a worldly life. They don't care about seeing souls saved. You can do whatever the hell you want, and you don't go out there and preach the gospel. That's fine. Go do that. But you know what? In our church, we're going to make sure that our focus is soul winning. Amen. You know why? Because the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the Bible says that he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. That's our responsibility. He's given to us the dispensation of the gospel, amen? We're not talking about dispensationalism either. He's dispensed to us the responsibility to preach the gospel. We ought to have a burning desire to get out there and preach the gospel, okay? Now, you say, what does that have to do with mountains? I want this mountain. We'll apply it somehow, all right? Here we go. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Have a goal for your life for 2018, okay? Not to make more money, not to have the best car, not to have the most material wealth, you know, none of these things, they're vain. It's all going to go away one day. It's all going to burn. You know, we ought to have, and I'm not saying there shouldn't be some sort of physical goals that you have, but you know, more so than that are the spiritual goals that we need to have, okay? Your Bible reading. You know, if you've not read the Bible once cover to cover, you need to start tomorrow. Or you know what? Get a head start. Start tonight. Why not? Yeah. Right? You need to read. You say, yeah, but I get enough preaching. No. You need to read the Bible cover to cover. Amen. Okay? And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've not read the Bible through, shame on you. Okay? It doesn't take a long time to read the Bible from cover to cover. 10 minutes a day. 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be able to finish the Bible in 1 year.
Real simple. And if you want to increase that, you can read it twice a year. You know, start reading it 30 minutes a day or whatever. Okay, but you can do it. But one thing we don't need is people who are out there going soul winning, but they're not reading their Bibles. I mean, how are you going to defend the faith, right? How are you going to fuel up on a weekly basis to go out there and preach the gospel if you're not reading the Bible? You know, oh, we're King James only, but are you reading your King James Bible? Okay? You need to be in the book. And dads, we need to be in the book. Okay? We need to be in the book. We need to make sure we're on our knees. We need to make sure that we're disciplined to do the things we're supposed to do, reading the Bible on a daily basis. Don't be a lazy Christian and not read your Bible. Okay? Oh, yeah, but I believe right, and I'm post-trib, pre-wrath, and I'm replacement theology, but I haven't read my Bible like in a month. No. You're foolish. You need to be making sure that you read the Bible on a daily basis. Oh, yeah, but I believe right. But you can't even show me, because you haven't been reading your Bible, why you believe what you believe. You need to make sure you're in the Word of God. And look, 2018, you hit a reset button, okay? You can start afresh. Tomorrow, say, you know what? I'm going to start in Genesis. And look, you don't necessarily have to read it from Genesis to Revelation. You can jump around, but keep track of what you're reading, okay? And make sure you get it done. Read the Word of God on a daily basis. What do I have you turn? Deuteronomy chapter number 10. So this mountain that we're talking about, you know, this is a very big goal that we have for a little church like ours, right? This is a big goal. You know, to finish that map right there is a big goal. And here's some things. That's a big mountain is what we're going to call it tonight. It's a big mountain to conquer. But look at Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse 8 says, first of all, let me say this. This mountain has valleys. It says, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it. And that ye may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them, and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither ye go in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land that the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. You know, often when God refers to a land, it's not necessarily talking about, to us in the New Testament, it's not referring to a physical land. It's talking about the spiritual aspect of it, right? And often we would think of the land being something that we can conquer, an inheritance we can have, something to overcome when we're living the victorious Christian life. But here the Bible says that this land is filled with valleys. Well, you remember what David said? He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, often valleys are associated with just going through a hard time. Yeah. There's trials, right? They're going through a valley. How many of you ever heard that term used before? They're just going through a valley right now. Okay? And look, this mountain is going to have a lot of valleys. There's going to be times of discouragement during this year. There's going to be times of hardship. Look, there might be times of persecution. Okay? And now's the time to buckle down and not be afraid when the persecution comes. You need to be settled in your faith, established in your faith, to know, look, this is what I believe. I'm not going to move regardless of what persecutions come. Because look, it's real easy to say we hate the faggots until the faggots start persecuting, right? How are you going to react at that point? Okay? We need to make sure that we are established in the faith and say, I'm not going to change my belief just because someone persecutes me, because they send afflictions. Look, these mountains have valleys. And we need to expect these things to come. Okay? The inheritance of the mountaintops came with valleys or hardships, difficulties. In fact, the Bible says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. See, whenever there's a great opportunity to do something great for God, there's always an adversary that comes with that opportunity. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth doing. Right? I mean, why would there be adversaries in the first place? Because they're opponents. They want to oppose us, to hinder us from accomplishing something great for God. You know why a lot of our independent Baptist brethren are not suffering persecution? Because they're not doing anything big for God. There's no opponents there. There's no adversaries there. But you know what? When you have a church that's soul winning on a day-in, day-out basis, seeing people saved, that gets the attention of the powers of darkness. That gets the attention of Satan. And guess what? This year is going to come with some hardships. This year is going to come with some difficulties. But you know what? That just goes to show us that what we're doing is right.
If you've gone through hardships within the last couple of months, guess what? It just goes to show that you're doing something right. That's not the time to be afraid, to give up, to throw in the towel. No, that's the time to confirm and say, Lord, I know that I'm doing something right. And if you're not getting persecuted, if you've never suffered those things, then you need to self-examine yourself. And see if, are you really in the fight? Because if there's no, if there's no opposition, what are you doing? Who are you fighting? It's only when you're doing something right for God that you're going to face some opposition. There's going to be valleys. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. Hold your place. No, don't hold your place there. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. There's a great door here. And look, I would hope that every single person here, 5 years from now, a year from now, 2019, 2020, stays here. Okay, I hope so. Now, if you like get offended and you don't like what I say, then get out. You know, go find a church that will tickle your ears and make you feel good so they can get your tithe, so they can pay for their Mercedes and get their yacht and all these things. That's fine. Go over there. Okay? We don't need you to be here if you don't like the preaching, if you get offended every single time. Okay? But I would hope that every single person under the sound of my voice would say, no, I want to make sure I'm here because this is where God wants me to be. This is where the truth is at. And this is where souls are being saved. I want to be a part of this great work. Amen. This is a great door. Yeah. Okay? And look, there's going to be times where Satan is going to tempt you to just leave. Okay? Whether it's because someone offended you. And look, if I don't offend you, someone here is going to offend you. Just mark it down. It's going to happen. That's just part of life. I mean, how many come from like a family of four, five, or three, or anything like that? Have any of your brothers and sisters ever offended you throughout your lifetime?
Yeah.
Okay? If they didn't, you're a liar. Okay? Or you didn't live together or something, right? It happens. That's what families do. Amen. You know, me and my brother, we fist fight.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you just get along. You know? That's just how family is. And guess what? We're not going to fist fight here, okay? All right? We were talking about fighting before, so we're not going to do that. But here's the thing is, someone is going to offend you. But look, the person who offended you needs to grow up, but you need to grow up too.
Yep, that's true.
Okay? I don't like the way they sit. Just get over it. Get over it. It's okay. They don't hate you. We don't hate you. Grow from it. And look, if they defraud you, allow yourself to be defrauded. Grow out of it. It only builds thicker skin. And you know what? As a Christian, you need to build some thick skin. Okay? You can't have soft skin in the Christian life. You say, why is that? Because you're gonna just fall apart at the slightest persecution that you receive. Okay? What I have it here in Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know what we need? We need some lions this year. We need some lions in 2018. Lions and lionesses. Okay, we need some lions who are willing to just be bold as a lion. Just be bold, bold in your witness, bold in your stance. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Look, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Amen. We ought to reflect that. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Proverbs 30 verse 29 says, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. Look what it says in verse 30. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any.
Amen.
Amen. You know what it says? That they're strong and they're not going to turn away from anyone. The elephant, the hippopotamus, whatever comes their way, they ain't turning from it. You ever had someone go like this to you? Try to make you flinch. How many of you used to do that? If you go like this, you flinch and then they hit you, you know? We need to be non-flinchers. Okay? And this is how you could be a spiritual non-flincher. Expect the hit. Welcome the hit. Just welcome the hit. You know? I remember back in the day, this is before Christ, right, BC. They used to tell, we were talking about kickboxing earlier, but they used to say, you know, basically, you know, if you ever get in a street fight, you just kind of got to let them hit you first. Because then you can say, look, the reason I knocked the guy out is because he like assaulted me. So they would just tell you, just take the hit. You know, tighten up your jaw, you know, and take the hit.
And that it never happened to me, but I remember one time this one guy, I think he was trying to rob me. I was in Paramount. And he came and he said, "Where are you from?" You know. And he wasn't asking about my nationality either, okay? I said, "I live right here." And then, you know, and then he was just like, and I think he thought I was being sarcastic with him. And he kind of went, and he like threw the punch at me, but he wasn't going to punch me. But I had learned this, is just, if he hits me, then it's on, you know. And I just kind of stood there and I didn't flinch. And he kind of like looked at me weird, like, "That's weird. You're supposed to at least react a little bit, you know, duck or something." But we were taught, hey, look, don't flinch. Let them hit you if they have to hit you so you can fight back. You know what I mean? And then you're justified by defending yourself. That's what they would basically tell. It wasn't necessarily being a tough guy. It's just saying, look, so you can be justified in defending yourself. You can say, look, the reason this happened is because he assaulted me, you know. But how do we apply that spiritually? Is don't be a flincher. Just be willing to take the hit. Because there's some hits coming. Amen? And look, it's good to flinch because you have good reaction. But for the most part, it's also good to take a hit. Because it's when we're afflicted that we go to the Word of God. It's when we're in pain that we seek the Lord, right? That we pray more, that we read the Bible more. It's when the hardships come, that's when you actually get a little closer to the Lord. Okay? Pain helps you to draw closer to the Lord. Pain is good. It's a good thing. We don't like it, but it's beneficial to us. Okay? And here the Bible says that the lion turneth not away from any. You know, and we want to be a church that says, that people say, man, those are people that don't turn away from it. They're not afraid of anything. Oh, I take that back. They're afraid of the Lord. They fear the Lord. But anyone other than that, they don't fear anybody else other than the Lord. Okay, go to Joshua 17. Joshua chapter 17. But this mountain has valleys. There's going to be some hardships. Look, there's going to be hardships in your marriage. Right? There's going to be hardships with your children. There's going to be, maybe there might be some financial hardships. Okay? Whatever it may be, you just need to take it, you know, just fully take it and already settle within your hearts, I'm not going to throw in the towel just because this hardship comes. Okay? Conquering lands and getting the mountain and seeing souls saved, it comes with a price. Are you willing to pay the price? This is a question. Joshua 17:17 says, "And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." You know what I'm saying? He goes, look, this mountain is yours, and you're going to be able to conquer it, even though they have chariots of iron and that they're strong. We would think, and look, later on we'll see that there was another tribe, they weren't able to conquer some of these people because they had chariots of iron. But you know what Joshua's saying here? You can do it. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not possible. Just because it's difficult, just because it's a little strenuous, just because it's a little difficult to do this, doesn't mean it can't be done. And we need to make sure that we as Christians are not little sissies spiritually, that just because something is hard, we don't attempt to try it. Whether it's in your Bible reading, whether it's soul winning, whatever it may be, just because it's hard doesn't make it impossible. It just means we got to pray. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Is what the Bible says. And don't let the chariots of iron discourage you from even trying. Whatever that may be. Whatever you may apply that to your personal life. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Right. You know, and the answer is no. Okay? And anytime we get discouraged and it gets a little difficult, it gets a little hard, and maybe it's not as comfortable. And look, these last few months has been great, right? In our church, I mean, we're seeing souls saved. Everyone's like, yeah, excited about the church. Well, you know what's going to die down in 2018 maybe, okay? The excitement might go away a little bit, all right? But you know what? That's when you have to put the big boy pants on, okay? Right. For the men, not for the ladies, all right? Yeah. You know, that's when you got to say, you know what? I got to do what I got to do because this is what I'm supposed to do. And here's the thing is, when you get discouraged, don't be a Christian who's driven by your emotions either. Don't be an emotional Christian. Or let me say this, it's okay to be emotional, but don't make decisions based off of your emotions. Fear, doubt,
anxiousness, anxiety, all these things that pull at our heart to make a decision that's not right. No, you just need to make your decisions based off of God's word, and that's it. Okay? That's how it works. Go to Judges chapter number 1. So the mountain has valleys. You know, and I don't know what valleys are to come in 2018. I just know that's just the nature of the beast. It's just what happens, you know. I hope no one gets thrown out this year, you know, from the group here, but it may happen. We might have to throw out Alex or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But someone might get, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But I just know this. There are many adversaries because it's an open door. And look, now that the door is open and we've already gone through it, the adversaries are coming. But we got to make sure everyone's on the same page. And here's another thing we got to make sure we have is unity.
Right.
Got to make sure we back each other up.
Amen.
Okay? We got to make sure that we back each other up, that we're praying for one another, that we're exhorting one another, and that we're backing each other up. And look, one of the practical ways you can do that, just be in church. Make sure you're in church. Now, people have been missing the last couple services just because it's sick season. I get that. My son's not here. He's been puking like crazy, you know? And there's a lot of people who've been like that. They're just throwing up. Now, my son, he doesn't whine when he pukes. He just like looks at me and just goes, and he's just like, you know, there it goes, you know? Which I appreciate that rather than the whiny and, you know, throwing up. He just like, exorcist style, you know, just like. But people get sick. This is a sick season. But you in 2018, you need to get faithful. You need to be faithful. Okay, we don't, not this hit and miss junk. If you don't got a reason, look, if you're not dying or, you know, you're puking, if it's like my toe hurts or I got a, you know, like my hair hurts, okay, my hair is in pain right now. No, don't get your butt in church. You need to be in church. Look, I've heard, not here, but I've heard a lot of excuses from people who are just like, yeah, I just have to. And they're just trying to come up with a reason in their mind. I had to mailbox, just, you know, just throw words out there, you know? It's like, you don't even have a good reason. Get your butt in church. You need to be in church. And look, you wonder why you struggle so much. It's probably because you're not in church enough. Because when you're in church, you hear the truth, you get fed, you're around people who are spiritually minded. That strengthens you, you know? And look, you make good friends at church. So that when you fall or you're struggling, you have someone that can pick you up. Okay? You have friends. You have people there who are thinking about you or praying for you. But Judges chapter 1, so not only does this mountain have valleys, but this mountain has had failed attempts too. Don't want to scare anybody, but this is the truth. Judges 1:17 says, "And Judah went with Simeon, his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephthah and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also, Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron." So these people, what does that mean? They failed. And you know what? The mountain that we're attempting to conquer today in 2018, Christians have tried to do it, and they failed at it. But not because they didn't have a big God, not because, you know, God was, his hand is too short that he cannot save, his ears too heavy that he cannot hear. It's not because the gospel didn't have any power, it's because they weren't trying. It's because they didn't apply the biblical principles that they should have applied to see people saved, to conquer the mountain, to do great exploits for God. That's why they failed. And I've seen ministries where they were on fire, they were doing something great, they were soul winning, and today they're just paintballing on a Saturday instead of soul winning. Look, I'm not against paintballing. But when you do that in place of soul winning, when the pastor is doing paintball instead of soul winning, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's why they failed. No, we're succeeding because the bills are being paid. I can care less if the bills get paid.
Right.
Look, the bills need to get paid. Don't get me wrong. But if that's all what it's all about, forget the paintballing.
Yeah.
Go do some real soul winning.
Yeah.
Go get your church back on fire for God. You know? And they're over here stinking doing just their visits.
Yeah.
Paintballing in visits. You know? Alleviating their conscience from what they should be doing, which is soul winning.
And it's not getting done. And that's why they failed at conquering that mountain. We don't want to be a church plant that fails at conquering the mountain.
Amen.
Okay? And it's not like, well, what if we don't have to fail. We keep God's commandments, we keep preaching hard, we keep soul winning, and we'll conquer the mountain. That's the way it works. But just know this, you get off track, you'll be a failure as well. Okay?
Go to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. They couldn't drive out the inhabitants of the land because they had chariots of iron. You know, making excuses. Even though God told them you'll do it, you can do it even if they have chariots of iron. You know, we can't do it, they have chariots of iron. No, we can't win all these people. They all speak Spanish. They all speak Chinese. I can't do it. Look, we all have excuses. Okay, just do it. Get the power of God, pray for God's boldness, learn the gospel, and we will be able to conquer the mountain. Matthew 21:43 says, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Obviously, we know that that's talking about replacement theology, where God replaced Israel, right? But you know, in a practical sense, that happens to churches too. Where it's like the churches aren't taking care of business. They're not soul winning. They're not preaching. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you know what God says? You know what? I'm just going to put my blessing on a church that it actually is bringing forth the fruits thereof. We're no one special. We're not wise. We're not the most knowledgeable. We're not the most smartest. But you know what? God promised the mountain. All we have to do is obey Him and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing as God commanded, and we can have it. We just got to bring forth the fruits thereof. That's it. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and the grace and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me," the Bible says. What is Paul saying? Look, the reason I got the job done is because I was laboring.
Yeah.
A lot of churches don't want to labor today. They don't want to put in the work. Well, you know what? We want to be a working Baptist church. Okay, where we're putting in the work day in and day out, week after week, seeing people saved, getting that mountain. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. The mountain has valleys. Okay, 2018 will be filled with valleys. 2018 we'll see mountains that had failed attempts, where there is a church that was soul winning there, was doing great works for God, and no longer is. Okay, and I hope. My prayer is that Faithful Word Baptist Church, obviously in a year and a half, the name will change when we go independent, but I would hope that this church stays right forever,
right.
Until the tribulation and the rapture comes, right? That's the goal, amen? That our church can say, you know what? We stayed right to the bitter end, no matter what happened. But not only that, but this mountain requires leaving the old mountain behind. Deuteronomy 1:43, the Bible says, "So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there." And go to chapter 2 and verse number 1. "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore." So what do we see here? We see that they weren't able to conquer it because they're disobedient to God's word. So they basically failed, right? But they stayed there. See, often, sometimes failure is just a part of life. Sometimes we mess up. And unfortunately, many Christians, they don't look forward to those things which are before. Why? Because they're constantly thinking about their failures in the past. You know, I blew it in the past. I wasn't able to do it in the past. Whatever's in the past. But you know what? You know what God says? Look, you've been there long enough. Okay? Just stop having a pity party. Get up and go do what you're supposed to do. Okay? Look, we're not looking for perfect people. We're looking for good repenters. Okay? If you know how to repent well and get right with God and get back on track, do that, okay? But don't have a a pity party. Elijah under the juniper tree pity party, where it's like, I can't leave 2017 behind. There's too many things I did wrong. I messed up. I got to make sure I get this. No, just look. Like Joshua, what God told Joshua, just get up. Get up and go do what you're supposed to do. Get up and go clean house. Get up and go read your Bible. Go pray. Go do what you got to do, but do it. Leave the old mountain behind. I've met so many Christians that for years they just can't do anything for God simply because they're focused on their failures way too much. All the bad stuff that they did, and you know, oh man, I messed up here morally, or you know, I did this, and I don't think God could ever use me. You're just giving excuses. Okay? Leave that behind you. 2018 is right around the corner. Look, I'm not necessarily for New Year's resolutions, unless they're spiritual resolutions. Amen? Or it's like, you know what, 2018, I want to hit the reset button on my Bible reading. I want to hit the reset button on my soul winning. I want to hit the reset button on holiness, whatever it may be. I want to hit the reset button on just getting rid of the worldly stuff in my life. The rap music. Okay? Amen? Get rid of the country music. I hope no one listens to country music. Yet. That's like worse than rap music for some reason. It's just... Talk about dogs and your dog left. Your dog died, your wife left, and you got barbecue stains on your t-shirt or something. Leave your country music behind. Look, we're in El Monte. Leave your mariachi behind. Leave your banda behind. Oh, but I'm King James only. Take that garbage out of your car. Stop tuning into the radio where they throw that trash on there. Okay? And don't glorify that. That's wicked. No Christian should ever be listening to banda, okay? And if you don't know what banda is, don't worry about it. My Hispanic fellows know, okay? If you live in, maybe you're white and you live in this area, you know what I'm talking about, okay? You ought to put that stuff away from you. And look, most of those musicians, they talk about drugs, fornication, drinking, and then you're going to come to church? Like it's all good? We condemn what they talk about. Okay, stop being double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, and you're a hypocrite if you're listening to that kind of garbage and you come here acting like you're holy and you're a Christian when you're listening to a bunch of filth when you go home. Stop being double-minded. Okay, put away your rock music. Put away, someone give me something else. Let's see. What other genres are there? Is there any other, did I miss anything? Put away your classical music. No, I'm just kidding. Pop. What is that, like NSYNC or something? You shouldn't be listening to faggots. That's terrible. Okay? Put away all of that nonsense and look, get some Christian music back there. We got Christmas CDs back there you can listen to, okay? Hey, it's still better than the banda, right? I know I'm pronouncing it not like the Hispanic way, okay? But banda, just keep get that in mind. The mariachis. Okay, the love songs. Okay, the reggaeton. There we go. That's the one I was looking for. There's another form of reggaeton. There's a reggaeton that's like a love song reggaeton. What is that called? Come on, I know you guys know. Come on. But what? Bachata. That's exactly what I'm talking about. See, some of you in here are like, oh, he got it. Move on to the next point. Bachata. Is that bachata? Is that right? Bachata. Which is like reggaeton love music is what it is. Okay? Put that garbage away from you. And by the way, the people who are singing this, they're all fornicators, drug abusing, cocaine using, blasphemers. And that's who you're going to listen to? Those who blaspheme the name of God? Put that garbage away from you. Okay? That's not pleasing to the Lord. Look, 2018 should be... And look, if that's what you listen to... Maybe you're not going to listen to it after this sermon, all right? Or you're like, you know what? I'm done with the bachata, okay? Well, what does bachata even mean? What? A drink? Do you live? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Orchata. Hey, I like orchata, okay? That was pretty funny. But it requires you leaving some things behind, including the bachata. Okay, put away that worldly music. Put away the worldly associations. You know one reason why a lot of Christians struggle is because you're just associated with the wrong people. Right. You're around worldly people all the time. Right. And it's easier to do wrong when you have friends who are doing wrong with you. Yeah. Okay? And look, I don't think I need to tell you, look, you shouldn't have unsaved friends. Okay? And if you have an unsaved friend, win them to the Lord. And if they don't want the Lord, then you need to dust your feet off and go get yourself some Christian friends here at Faithful Word. Okay? Fellowship is important. I'm not saying it's not. But you know what? If you are constantly around unsaved people, you're going to do things that unsaved people do. Okay? On a daily basis. That's what you're going to do. You need to get away from those people. They're going to destroy you. Okay? Put those things away from you. So 2018 is not just the year where we add some things to our life, right? But it's also some things where we subtract some stuff from our life too. Subtract the worldliness, the bad music, the bad habits, whatever it may be, put it away from you. We get a fresh new start in 2018. Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward." Look, you've been there long enough. It's 2017, was long enough. It's time to move on. Okay? Go to Philippians. Actually, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Let me say this. This mountain that we want to conquer, it was available to the previous generation too. It was available to them. It was theirs for the taking. But look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 3, verse 23. It says, "And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon." Who's speaking here? It's Moses, right? Moses is like, just let me see it at least. Why was Moses asking just to see it? Because he wasn't going to be able to be there. Moses had sinned against the Lord when the children of Israel were asking for water. God was going to use the rock, you know, he was supposed to speak to the rock, and the rock was going to give water, forth water, and that was going to be a picture of Jesus Christ, right? And what did he do? He smote the rock instead, and water still came out, but he completely ruined the symbolism of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the rock from which comes living waters, right? And because of that, God says, you're not going there. Why? Because he disobeyed the Lord. Moses, the most meekest man in the world. This man was used greatly of God. He was a great man. But even he did not get that mountain. Why? Because he disobeyed the Lord. And what does that go to show us? That God is no respecter of persons. You say, well, you know, you new independent fundamental Baptists, you guys are so proud, and you don't honor your elderly, you don't honor us. No, it's not that. It's just that you dishonored God by disobeying his word. That's what it is. And here at this moment, Moses resembles what the old IFB is. That's what it is. He simply did not obey the word of the Lord. He perverted what God wants to symbolize of that rock. And what happened? He didn't get to see the mountain. Look, he wanted to go there. He wanted to go to that land, but he couldn't. Why? Because he didn't obey God. And let me say this. That's what the old IFB is right there. They could have seen what we're seeing today. They could have seen that mountain. They could have seen tons saved. They could have kept doing something big for God, but they didn't. Why? Because they disobeyed the word of the Lord. That's why. So this was made available to them as well. Here's the thing. People are like, oh, you guys think you guys are like pioneering something? This is something that's been done for thousands of years. This is not something new. Right? This has been done for thousands of years. But guess what? God uses those who obey him, who don't pervert the word of God, who stick to the right path, the old paths, the true old paths. But the old IFB, the Moses, you know, he's not going to get to see the land. In fact, he's just going to see what it looks like. And you know what? You know what the old IFB is going to do? They're going to see the results of the souls that are going to be saved in 2018. But they're not going to be able to go into that land. You know, they're going to see the soul. Look, every independent fundamental Baptist on March 31st and thereafter, they're going to pay attention to what's going to go on. Why? Because they want to see the results of all the souls that are going to be saved. Amen. And deep down in their hearts, you know what they're thinking? Man, I wish we could be a part of that. But then I get kicked out. You know? Or then I lose all my preacher buddies or whatever. Then I, you know, whatever. All the fears that they have that won't even come upon them. But here's the thing. They'll be able to see it, but they won't be able to enjoy it. While we're in Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey and a bunch of souls, enjoying the fruits thereof. Okay? Look what it goes on to say. What verse are we on? Verse 26. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. What is he saying? Look, you won't be able to see it, but you should be able to encourage Joshua, Pastor Stephen Anderson, you know, Pastor Roger Jimenez, Pastor Donnie Romero. You should be able to encourage the new generation coming up to do it. But you know, the old IFP is not doing that, is it? Are they? You know, they'd rather fight against Joshua. They'd rather fight against us instead of encouraging us to do what they used to do. Okay? But because of that, they're not going to see it. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And again, this is not anything new. We're not bringing in new doctrines. You know, anytime they attack us about post-trib replacement theology, they try to make it seem as though it's like, oh, I've never heard anybody talk about this. I've never heard that before. You're a liar. You know, I talked to a guy who was a big Charles Haddon Spurgeon fan. Okay, you guys know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon is? He's a Calvinist. Okay, the prince of preachers. He's a big fan of his until I told him, hey, did you know Charles Haddon Spurgeon was replacement theology and that he believed in post-trib? And I sent them a clip from his book talking about replacement theology. And he was like, oh, wow, interesting. And he never quoted him after that. You know, he was just like, oh, stink. So this is, look, your buddy Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you know, who you quote all the time, even he was replacement theology. And I don't even agree with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, right? He's a Calvinist. But even he was replacement theology. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the Bible says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. It's like, oh, you guys are just trying to bring up your own new thing. No, this has been done before. We're just going to do it again. Okay? Yeah, but you bunch of youngins. Hey, I'm glad there's a bunch of youngins. Because this is the next generation. Okay? And look, these other churches, they're just dying. They're either dying or their kids are going to Bible college, becoming worldly as the day is long, or they're going out into the world, fornicating, and then coming back to the church, you know, and living their lukewarm lives, but they're still losing to the next generation. You know, I see a lot of young people here. In fact, I saw a lot of young people today just preaching the gospel. Okay? That's a good thing. That means the next... I went out to eat with Brother Stephen Politis, okay? And he was telling me about his son. And his son, I don't know, he's 10 years old or something like that. He goes, my son loves preaching. You know, he goes, we got TVs at the house. He goes, but we don't use it for any TV at all. We use it for preaching. And he says when they get home, he's like, his son's like, let's put on some hellfire, damnation, leather lung preaching, Dad. I mean, let's see how the old IFB, what their kids are saying. Let's put on some Disney, is what they're saying. Let's put on some Frozen. Right? Let's put on some fill in the blank of whatever worldly movie there is. Let's put on some Star Wars. Right? No, we want our people to say, let's put on some leather lung preaching. And guess what? The next generation that's rising up is doing that. So here's the thing. You know, and they often say, you know, yeah, but let's look at the fruit that they're bearing, you know, in their families. Well, I see a lot of kids who are just on fire for the Lord preaching the gospel too. You know, they're on it. So as far as I'm concerned, that's good fruit right there. Amen? But this is nothing new under the sun. This has been done before. We're just doing it again. That's all it is. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we'll close right here. The last thing is this, that this mountain of 2018, it takes faith. It takes faith, you know. And more than anything, I hope you would grow in your faith. right? Because look what the Bible says in verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And obviously he's talking about removing the mountain, right? But if we can remove the mountain, we could also ask in faith that we can have the mountain, right? But it's going to take faith. And look, obviously there's someone who's going to be here and like, I don't think we're going to, you know, the whole map, brother, he's just exaggerating. You got little faith. Okay? And you're weak. If that's what you think. Okay? And I like to see what you say at the end of 2018. It's like, oh, no, no, I meant like, no, 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 that's not what I meant, you know? No, why don't you just have faith? And look, let's try to outdo what we think God can do, right? Because the Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Okay, let's think something bigger than that. I mean, I think that map is doable in 2018. Easy. I think it can be done. But we need consistent, faithful, faith-filled Christians.
Amen.
Who believe it can be done. Don't be a doubter. And look, if you want to doubt, that's fine, but don't go spread it to other people and say, yeah, I don't think that's... No, just shut up. Shut your mouth. Go get right with God. Go get some faith, and then open your mouth. But if you don't believe it can happen, just shut up. Okay? Because here's the thing is, it's easy to discourage the people of God. You know, like sheep. You know? And if you don't believe it can happen, you just need to read your Bible a little more. Okay? Get some faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
And as you read the word of God, you'll see that God has done big things before. He can do big things today. And I believe it can happen. I believe 2018 is going to be an awesome year.
Amen.
And every year thereafter is going to just get better and better and better. I hope that March 31st will mark an annual soul winning marathon for us.
Amen?
Amen? March 31st is like, all right, March 31st, our annual soul winning mega marathon. We're doing it again. It's going to be an annual thing. I mean, I don't have a problem. You guys have a problem with that? Amen. This is more souls saved. A great revival of seeing souls saved. Look, I make goals for 2018, absolutely, okay? But the biggest goal should be this. What do I want to do spiritually in my life? What areas in your life were lacking in 2017? And let's improve upon those in 2018. But more than that, let's dream big. Let's do something big for the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. And we thank you, Lord, for the mountain set before us. And Lord, I think of Caleb and Joshua, who also said that there's giants in the land. They understood the difficulties, but what did Caleb say? He said, we can possess it. You know, we can have it. So he had the attitude that it could be done. Whereas the other ones, they saw the giants and they allowed that to discourage them. I pray that no one here would be discouraged at the vision that our church has to evangelize this entire city in 2018. I believe it can be done, and maybe even more so. Maybe we'll evaluate in 6 months from now, and who knows how much we'll get done. It's like we got to reset the goal because we've accomplished so much. I pray that that would be the case, Lord. I pray that you would instill boldness. Help us to be lions that would turn away from no one and would not allow any outside persecution or affliction to disturb us or to move us, but that we would be just wholly dedicated to your work, and that we would accomplish a great work for thee in 2018. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.